youth group. And Michael, if I see that again, I'm going to ask you to leave, brother. I love you guys. I do. I'm not playing. Bibles are critical to your spiritual growth. They're important so that you can hear God's word, so that you can see him, so you can see what he did in history, and you can see what he could do now. It's amazing what he could do. So I want to encourage you, pick up a Bible. If not, download the Bible app on your phone. It's youversion.com. Get it, check it out. But for tonight, if you don't have your Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to look up at the screen. I'm going to read it. And you can read it along with me if you want, if you can keep up with me and pronounce the words. Zacchaeus is kind of tricky, but check it out. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, reads like this. Yeah, deep breath. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. In case you don't know who he is, it was Jesus. He is Jesus. Entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature, which otherwise means he's short. Don't laugh, kind of like me. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Now I know some of you are starting to sing a song in your head, but fight the urge. It's a kid's song that goes a lot like away. I'm not going to sing it. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down here, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. Grumbled is also, there's another word for grumbled is complaint or uncomfortable. So, you know, made them uncomfortable, made them complaining inwardly, not outwardly, but inwardly. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's where I'm going to stop reading. But I want to go back and unpack a few things about Zacchaeus. What do we know about Zacchaeus because of this passage? Now, some of you have never even heard of Zacchaeus before, so let's cover a couple of basics. What we see here is that he was a tax collector. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, which means that he was earmarked as a sinner. He was a guy in this culture who would raise the prices of taxes to pull money from people that he didn't need to pull, and then he would pocket the difference and give the rest to the government. Okay? People hated tax collectors because they made poor people poorer, and they got rich on poor people's money without ever giving anything back. Okay, so he was a guy that when he would walk through the towns, they would kind of jeer at and complain about and just think he was a loser of losers, right? And it made it even worse that he was a Jewish tax collector. So even if he lived in a Jewish community, as a Jewish tax collector, he would be like even worse, because that's like people saying, man, you're one of us and you're still sticking it to us in the back. Right? So he's a tax collector, which is why you see the guys grumbling later at, like, why is Jesus hanging out with this tax collector? And if you were here a couple weeks ago, one of the things we see there and we remember about the woman at the well is that Jesus loves to break down barriers. He loves to change things that the culture says shouldn't be changed. You might be here tonight thinking, man, have you ever heard somebody say, if I go into a church, the walls are going to fall down. If I go into a church, it's just going to collapse. Well, what they're saying is, I'm too bad for God to love me. I'm too bad for anybody in that church to even care. They're probably going to think I shouldn't even be there. And sadly, there's too many churches like that, because we've lost sight of what Jesus was all about. And that was about going to this guy who was a tax collector, this guy who we shouldn't have spent time with culturally. And he said, I want to spend some time with you. You messed up one. Let's spend some time together. So he was a tax collector. That's Zacchaeus. What else was he? In this passage, we see that he was seeking Jesus, right? He hears about Jesus coming through town, and what we know about this situation is that he intentionally goes to where Jesus is. He changes his location, and he gets there, and he realizes, whoa, everybody is taller than me, and I'm never going to be able to see him. So what does he do? He actually goes to the extra effort to get up into a tree, which I don't know a ton about the Jewish culture in this day, but one thing I do know is that men in this culture were really all about image and what they looked like from the outside. is a heavy pride culture. And for a man to even run in public was a no-no. So I don't know what it would mean for a guy, a grown man, a short little man, to climb up in a tree, but I'm guessing it's not something that would make him popular. So maybe at this point he was just like, I don't even care. I just want to see who this Jesus guy is that I've heard all this hubbub about. I want to get up there and see him, at least set my eyes on him and see what he looks like. So he climbs up in the tree. He changes his position to get to Jesus. And this is this next thing we hear about Zacchaeus just makes me feel comfortable. I love him even more, and that's the fact that he was short. He's just short. You know, all you short people in the room, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you need to know that somebody short can be loved by Jesus. That's me. You know, you go through your whole life just being picked on because you're under 5'4", something like that. And then you finally hit a growth spurt and you go all the way up to 5'6", and you're like, yeah, here I am. And then some big girl comes up to you and she's like, what's up? How you doing down there? I need to know that Jesus loves short people, okay? And it's nothing against tall people. I know all you tall people. You know, God loves you too. He's just got a special place in his word for short people. What, in case you're wondering, there is a place in the Bible for tall people. In case you're wondering, David and Goliath, that was a big one. You'll get that later and maybe laugh. Anyway, what does he do when he meets Jesus? We need to know, what does he do when he meets Jesus? What happens when somebody meets Jesus? Anytime, here, let me let you in on a little secret. When you're reading God's Word or you see somebody talking about the Bible, one thing you can key in on and really get a ton of clarity about is how people respond when they meet Jesus, especially for the first time. Especially what happens in that moment when Jesus enters the scene and person responds. What happens? There's a ton of things that happen throughout the Bible when Jesus steps onto a scene and whoa, you see like a different side of who Jesus is. And I love different passages where you can see, oh wow, that's a new side of Jesus. I see, wow, that's the kind of guy he was. And here we see something really cool. When Zacchaeus meets Jesus, what happens? He comes down from the tree. Changes his location again. Why? Because he's called down to him. And one of the things we see here is that it says in the Word that he was joyful. When Jesus told him to come down, I almost picture like this rejected short little guy sitting up in a tree trying to kind of just pretend like he's supposed to be there, like hanging on the limb or something, leaning. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to talk. And he's almost like, oh boy. Okay. But he's kind of cocky and confident too. We'll see that in a few minutes. So he comes down. His position gets changed when he meets Jesus, right? He was up in the tree trying to see Jesus, but then what he figures out quickly is that he was trying to see Jesus, but all the time, Jesus was looking for him. Get that tonight. That's a critical point. We're going to talk more about that in a little while. But Zacchaeus changed his location to try to see Jesus. But when Jesus saw Zacchaeus, we realized that it wasn't Zacchaeus that was looking. It was Jesus that was finding. Maybe you're here in the room tonight, and you came because a friend invited you, or you came because you come every week, or you came because you wanted to see the short guy with the microphone who's super good looking. Right, Tara? Thank you. I don't know what reason you came tonight. I don't know. I really, really don't know exactly why Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree, but one thing I do know is that when he got up in the tree and saw Jesus, it's clear that Jesus saw him and he was looking for him. Maybe you're here tonight because you have nowhere else to go, and your life's falling apart. Maybe you're here tonight because everything's great, and you just want to come and see your folks, your people, your crew, your G's, whatever the cool term is for friends. You're here with them. But one thing that you need to know is that you came here, but you didn't come here looking for Jesus, but Jesus is here looking for you. And when he sees you, he says, hey, come down here. I want to spend time with you. I want to talk with you. No matter what the people say about you, no matter what your reputation is, no matter what's going on in your life, I want to talk with you. That's what we see happens when he meets Jesus. Another thing we see happens is like, and this is super like, I don't know why I picture this, but it says he joyfully responds to Jesus. And what I pictured when I read that is like my 6-year-old little daughter, when she gets excited, Selah, she's just like, she starts giggling like crazy. She just can't stop giggling. And I pictured Zacchaeus giggling like a 6-year-old little girl. when he met Jesus. So I'm picturing like this short little guy who just came down from the tree, and everybody around him's like, that guy's a loser, and he's like, and Jesus, the celebrity, is like, we're gonna spend some time together, and he's just like, like a little girl, like being all happy. I don't know why, maybe because that's how I would respond. I don't know. But that's what I picture. And it says he joyfully did it. And even when I looked at that word in the text, like I looked it up, and it said that joyfully is like excitedly, outwardly joyous. So even the Bible, I mean, the word study I did proves that he giggled like a 6-year-old little girl. But anyway, that's what we see. The next thing we see him do in this text, if you can you throw that up on the screen, the 1 through 10 again? Because I want you to see this for yourself. The thing he does in the second half of the verses. So he hurried and came to town and received joyfully, and when they saw it, they all grumbled. They got upset, right? But what does Zacchaeus do? And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Now, this is something, you might not recognize this, but it happens all the time to Jesus. And actually, it happens all the time in church. The third thing Zacchaeus does when he meets Jesus is he rolls out this list of good moral behavior and says, "I've got it. I'm going to change. I'm going to do the right thing. And a lot of times you read this and it looks like at surface level, it looks like he's saying, "I've done all these good things. Check it out. I'm good, right, Jesus? Can I go to heaven now?" But what he's actually saying, this is a present tense term. He's saying to Jesus, "All right, I'm glad you're here, and I'm gonna get right. I'm gonna give fourfold to everybody who's there, who I owe money to." If you look this up, it is actually saying, "I'm gonna do the right thing now. We've met. I gotcha. I know what it's all about." This text, this term that he's using here, the fourfold repayment, he'll restore that fourfold. He's actually quoting an Old Testament law that was placed on Jewish people, where they, if they stole someone's sheep or killed someone's lamb, they would have to pay 4 lambs back. So he's saying, "Okay, Jesus, we've met, and I know exactly what I got to do. I got to live right by the law. I got to do everything according to what my religion says. And I'm going to do it. Promise." And if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. We can say to God, in church or at home, "God, I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to do the right thing." I can't tell you how many times I was, after a long, too long of a night of partying, throwing up into a toilet bowl, saying, "God, I pray I'll never do this again. I'll never do this again." And I'd be throwing up into the toilet, trying to make it right before God so that he would pardon my sin, so he would make me okay, so I would stop throwing up. And I don't know if I was the only one who's ever done that or will ever do that, but I'll tell you what, I think it's really, really easy to do the wrong thing and then think doing the right thing is how we get right before God. Right? And that's what he's doing here. That's what Zacchaeus is doing with Jesus. He's saying, "I'm going to do the right thing." And if we're not careful in reading this text, we can almost look at this and say, yeah, Jesus thinks that's a good idea. Because how does Jesus respond? That's the next question I want to pose to you. How does Jesus respond? I want to say that he responds not like Zacchaeus expected. Because Zacchaeus expects him to say, "Good job." He expects Jesus to say, "Good. And then when you're done paying everybody back, then come back and we'll talk about the next steps that you need to do to get right before the Father and clean your act up." But he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that at all. He says salvation would never, ever be found in good works, good moral behavior. He says salvation wasn't ever found in good moral behavior. And here's what else he says, is that salvation isn't even found in good irreligious behavior. Right? So sometimes we think good religious behavior will save us. Then some of us say, "I could care less about the church and about religion. I'm just going to make my life right and do whatever I want. It's going to be good. This is whatever I want to do. It's going to feel good, it's going to look good, and it's going to give me everything I need." But then the end of that leaves you desperately hoping for more. with an emptiness, with a hunger and a thirst for something more. What happens? You keep going after a higher high, or a deeper fix, or a higher grade, because you're thinking, man, maybe my grades can save me, and I'll just keep improving on myself, and eventually I'll be worth more, and I'll be more valuable and great. But that feeling of achievement never gets satisfied. And Jesus here, in talking to Zacchaeus, says, no amount of good religious behavior can save you. And no amount of irreligious behavior can ever make you feel as whole as what I can do today. Because what Jesus says is salvation has come to this house today. That's what he says to Zacchaeus. And what he's saying is, Jesus is saying, I am here. And I am the one, the only one that can save you. And the amazing thing is that we don't ever find out what happens to Zacchaeus. Which is kind of a bummer to me because he's short and I identify with him a lot. And I'm really hoping that's not my story. I don't think it will be. The line that I want you guys to grab hold of is this. Wherever Jesus is, salvation is. Wherever Jesus is, salvation is. So when Zacchaeus went up into the tree, he realized in a moment, well, he didn't realize then, but what happened then when Jesus entered his picture, salvation entered his life. It wasn't because of his giving of money to the poor or paying back what he owed people. It was because Jesus was present. So what does this mean to you and me? What does this mean to any of us as we look forward into our lives? What do I want you guys to get out of this? Why am I even sharing this story about Zacchaeus and what his life has to do with any of us? Because are any of you tax collectors right now? No. Are any of you short little men sitting up in a tree waiting for Jesus to walk by? No. But what we are, in like kind of Zacchaeus, wait, I can't wait till afterwards, there's going to be like people climbing up into the tree out front. And summer's coming, because that used to happen, right, Nate? We'd have people up in there all the time. Don't climb in the tree, unless nobody's here and you have pads on. Anyway, so wherever Jesus is, salvation is. I want to ask you, have you tried to find salvation in some kind of good moral behavior? Have you been one of those people that has come to church or missed church for a while and then thought, I need to get back to youth group. I need to get back to youth group because something's just not right. Something's not right. When I was going to the well every Wednesday, I felt better about myself. And life was better then. So you know what I need to do? I need to start going back to the well on Wednesday night. So I'm going to make sure that I'm there. After youth convention, I'm going to make sure every Wednesday night I'm there. Mom, Dad, you got to get me there. Got to get me there. Because I'm feeling good. There was some good worship at youth convention. And there was some good preaching. And I need to get to Wednesday night because my life is different now. I need to get there. And what we do, like Zacchaeus did, is we get ourselves up into a tree. And we come down when we see Jesus and we tell Jesus, I'm doing good things. I'm at youth group every Wednesday night. I'm at the well. And the whole time, Jesus is saying, it's not about you being at the well, it's about me. It's about me. It's about me and you hanging out. It's about you locating yourself not around other good things, but around me. And I want to ask you tonight, if you have tried to save yourself with good moral behavior by being at the church or being involved in Bible studies or doing the right thing, I want to ask you tonight to reorient yourself to find a new location. Not in the well, although I think this is a great place. Not at church on Sunday morning. But relocate yourself so that you're present with Jesus. And what that might mean to you is that you take some time out of each day, 5 minutes maybe to start, and spend some time focusing and just reading a verse out of the Bible and saying, Jesus, I want to be with you. Be with me right now. I'm with you. You're with me. Let's do this day together. Salvation is there. It's with him. All right, so maybe that's not you. Maybe you're not one of those people who's experienced faith in the past and kind of drifted away from it and then tried to fix it with your good works. Maybe you've never, ever thought about Jesus in the first place. Maybe you're in this building, right, this room right now, and you've never been to church before. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard about Jesus. I don't know. Baldwinsville's a big place. Lots of people, different things. Whatever. I'm sure they're out there. I know I've met people in this community who have not been to church and heard the message of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and raising again for them. It happens. If you're here tonight and you need to know that salvation is not found in checking your attendance in with Tina, okay? Although we love knowing that you're here so that we can give you a free piece of pizza or a soda or something, we want you to know that that is not where salvation is found. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And the way that you get there, the way that you spend time with Him, the way that you locate yourself in His presence is by simply saying, God, I believe You. Have my life. I want to do this together with You. Save me. Forgive me for screwing up and going to other things to try to save myself. Like Zacchaeus, he tried to lay his good works down and change his life for appropriate behavior. And Jesus said, it's not about all that. It's about me and you moving forward together. Now, let's do this. And He's there. He's available to you. Maybe tonight's your night. In just a few moments, you're going to have a chance to respond to that, but not yet. Maybe you're in the room, and there's kind of three people in the room, right? There's people who have walked with Jesus Christ and are now finding themselves trying to do the right thing instead of being in the right place with Jesus. Then there's another person who's in the room who's kind of like, never tried it before, and I just went through that. But you're kind of like, it's not me. And now you're really thinking, maybe I could try Jesus, see if He is salvation for me. But then there's a third person, and I want to challenge you. If you're in the room and you're thinking, neither of those people are me, because I'm pretty good. I got Jesus, He's got me. We spent time together this morning, this afternoon, right before I came to youth. I spent like 4 hours in prayer, and I'm just good. I got like 14 memory verses in my head right now, and I know I'm kind of exaggerating. Nobody's in here like that. If you are, then you should be preaching and not me. But maybe you're in the room and you have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. You spend time with Him daily. You read your word. Great. I love that. And I hope that there's lots of you in the room. Praise God for that. Well, you know what this verse, this story tells us? That it's our responsibility as Christ followers not to be saviors for people, but to help people get into locations where they can see Jesus and He can see them. So where are you in that three? Are you creating environments where people can be seen by Jesus and He can see them and they can see Him? Are you creating environments, even in the midst of chaos and parties and junior proms and different things, where people can see Jesus through you? Listen, I told somebody this today. This gets me in trouble with parents all the time and pastors. Not ours, because they're awesome. But this is what I say. I do not want people quitting on teams to be part of youth ministry teams because they feel obligated to leave one and go to another. If you're gifted and talented in a sport, God has given you that gift and that talent. Be the missionary He's called you to be in that team. Create an environment. Help those people know Jesus there. Reflect His glory, His love. Because what was happening here with Zacchaeus, all the Christians around him, all the Pharisees and the religious people around him were giving him a picture of God that was completely wrong. What we need are people who are willing to be Jesus with sinners. I hope that makes sense. I pray to God we have teenagers who are willing to get uncomfortable for the sake of Jesus Christ, to change their environment, to change their location so that they can see Jesus, to help other people get into trees so that they can be seen by Jesus. And to change their location themselves. You're one of those three tonight. And as Austin comes up, he's going to play a song through. It might be a little distracting as he picks up his guitar. But we've been practicing this song. He's been practicing the song, Your Name. And you guys might know it. You might not. I don't know if you've heard it before. Whether you have or not isn't the issue. But I want to ask you to respond in some way to this word tonight. And I'm going to have you respond in one specific actionable way. We've got a few minutes left. The building's going to be open until 8:30, 8:45. So if your parents aren't coming to pick you up, you've got plenty of time. All right? And even we're going to just keep the doors open and hang out downstairs. But before we do that, here's the thing. Oftentimes we leave this place, and what God has done, we leave behind us. When we move on to a new day and we forget the truth that God has planted in our heart, and we allow kind of a plucking of that seed and that plant that God has planted in our heart to be moved and destroyed. But I want to take some moments here at the end of our service, just 5 minutes, where Austin's going to play through the song, and I don't want got you. I'm going to ask you to stand up in just a second, but not yet. He's going to play through the song and sing it once. And as he sings through the song and plays through it once, I want each of you to enter into prayer mode for you. To close your eyes, to bow your head, and to figure out for yourself which one of those three people you are. Are you that person who one time had a relationship with Christ and you've tried to do good things and you're far from him now? Or are you that person who has never really had a relationship with Jesus Christ? You've never gone to him for your salvation, but you've gone to other things. Or are you somebody in the room who you're doing good, you're doing well spiritually, you're seeking him daily, but you know that there's a friend that needs to be in a different location to know him, to see Jesus. And that friend has been on your heart for a while and you don't know what to do, but you know that they need him. I'm going to ask all three people, no matter which one you are, to respond the same way. And not because I want to see you move, but because I think it's important that we have action tied with what's happening in our heart. In just a minute, I'm going to have you all stand up. Not yet. Have you stand up. Austin's going to play through the song once. I want you to pray through the song once. And then when the second round of this song starts, I'm going to have you move forward to the altar, the space up here. You don't have to kneel down. You don't have to lift your hands up in prayer, but I'm going to ask you to change your location so that you can see Jesus and so that he can see you as a symbol of what's happening in your heart. So that he can move in you the way that he moved in Zacchaeus. So that he can move in your friends the way that he moved in you. So that he can bring salvation to you the way that he brought it to me. So as Austin plays through this song, I'm going to ask everybody to stand up. Go ahead and stand up now. And just close your eyes and bow your head. And just for the one time, the first time through the song, I just ask you to pray through it. Just be alone with God, just to focus in on him. And then as we start the second verse of the song, I'm going to have you all come forward. Go ahead, Austin.